you don't spend all those years playing Dungeons and Dragons and not learn a little something about courage.
And that will be a soundbite. And that will, from that now is, on, yeah, on the Anomaly Podcast.
That will be the, like, one of our official soundbites. It's awesome.
Anomaly. Something that deviates from what is standard, normal, or expected. An oddity. Peculiarity. Irregularity. Inconsistency. Incongruity. A rarity.
Hello and welcome to the Anomaly Podcast. I'm Jen, and when my husband presented me with a rather large flat-screen television as a Valentine's Day gift, I was overjoyed. And I am an anomaly.
My name is Angela, and I want to believe, and I am an anomaly.
Welcome,
people. Hello! If we sound a little down, that's because it's very late.
It's not that late.
For us, it is.
Well, we just finished watching the
third to last Battlestar, and we're just lucky we're not on the West Coast, because they have to wait until 10 o'clock their time to watch it. So it'll be 12 o'clock our time before. I don't know.
Time zones are crazy.
Time zones are crazy. I get why we need them, but at the same time, it's very confusing.
What are we doing this week?
Well, we're obviously going to talk about Battlestar a little bit, if we can remember. And also, I thought it might be fun. I don't know where I had this thought, actually. I brought this up to you the other day.
Which is the best kind of
very random. I think I was telling someone a story about it, and I remembered my very favorite episode of The X-Files, and I thought we would do an episode on it. I really want to, it's kind of like when we did Out of Gas. I want to try not to do, let's do a Firefly episode, let's mm-hmm. do an X-Files episode, because it's just too, it's kind of like doing, let's do a Star Trek episode. Yeah, let's talk for 30 minutes about Star Trek. It's hard to do that, and X-Files I feel is the same way. And so, of course, we will talk a little bit about X-Files in general, but I thought it might be fun to talk about X-Files. Do we talk about the actual episode that we're going to talk about? Or
no, you haven't mentioned the title.
Oh. It's called Jose Chung from Outer Space, and it's awesome. So we'll talk a little more about that later. Anything fun, geeky happened? I hear you got a neat TV.
A gigantic television.
And awesome. What have you been doing, watching soap operas on it or cooking,
really.
Home cooking shows?
No, the first movies we tried out on it.
Yeah.
You would be proud.
Uh-huh.
The Lord of the Rings.
Yes!
And then Star Wars. I think that was the first one David popped in was Star Wars. But then you got to see every little dent and scratch in R2's domed head. And yeah. I still enjoyed it, but it was like, oh, I've never noticed that.
I don't know. HD kind of does that. And it's almost weird because I can see arguments against it. It sort of brings, I see that when you're watching a nature show or something like that, that it's fun because it's, you feel like you're really in the moment, mm-hmm. but all the special effects people have to step up their game.
Well, the movies we did pop in were not HD, but
right.
you could still see a lot when the television screen's
giant,
freaking gigantic.
Yeah.
Oh, this is a pretty geeky thing that happened. My Xbox experienced the three rings of death.
Oh no!
And I had to send it back to Microsoft for
them
to fix
no.
it. But I did get it back in a week and a half because the repair plant's in Texas, so it didn't take very long to get it back.
Oh, that's good.
But as soon as it came back, I played the expansion packs that I bought for Oblivion. So
yeah.
Now I finished Knights of the Nine and I'm starting on the Shivering Isles. And
great.
It's pretty cool. Yeah, that
yeah.
was fun. Oh, and I guess we should probably tell everybody about the interview. I guess
yeah.
we can save that.
Oh yeah, because we hadn't
that briefly.
We haven't been on. I'd like to say that we're really sorry we haven't gotten a show out. We were so good, and I am very sorry.
No, we put two out, and then a month later, we're starting the second.
I know.
Yeah, we're the first installment of the next month.
Well, it's mainly because of Battlestar, mm-hmm. because I don't know that we'll have as good of a Battlestar synopsis. Well. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
It won't be as easy to talk about Battlestar because it's not fresh.
Yeah.
So that's mainly what I mean is the Battlestar mm-hmm. stuff. Other things, I mean, people can wait,
yeah.
whatever.
But we were interviewed by Roni's Own Radio. It was broken into three episodes, and you could go to Roni's Own com.
Yeah.
And listen to them there. And I think they turned out pretty good. And welcome to all those listeners who may have come from Roni Zone.
Yes, welcome.
Or from Knights of the Guild.
Yay!
So,
hi, Kenny.
Welcome to our craziness. We hope you don't go running off scared of our
girlish
antics.
We're so great.
And if you believe that.
It's all the tiredness talking.
Yeah.
Jen's over there rubbing her eyes, so it'll be fun how this turns out.
Yeah.
So let's go ahead and start.
I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I got a lot of problems. Why don't somebody solve them? Television junkie, I don't like what I see. I'm a television junkie, and the real world stumps me. I'm a television junkie, gotta get another fix. I'm a television junkie, comes in 30-minute hits. Television leads to complacency. When boredom sets in and you turn on the TV, my life is missing something so bad. There's a theme song and a laugh track. Television junkie, I don't like what I see. I'm a television junkie.
We're talking about Battlestar. Get your head in the game,
right? Battlestar.
We have to make it happen. Battlestar, it's not really that late.
Battlestar.
I bet David is asleep, isn't he? We were singing Jim's version of Battlestar. Battlestar. Isn't that Spider-Man? Here comes Spider-Pig. 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 Do whatever Spider-Pig can. Okay. No.
Can
no singing.
Sing from a web. No, we can't because he's a pig. I don't know if that's the real words.
Almost sounds like something that your niece would make up.
Yeah.
No, yeah. He's not, because he's a pig. I would say my son, but he can't talk or walk. Yet. So he can't make up stuff. Well, maybe he does. I just don't know. So anyway. Okay, so we're talking about Battlestar. This will be very sporadic because we watched 8 episodes, so 7 of them we have not talked about.
Right.
So that's a lot.
Yeah. We're going to kind of do an overview. This is my overview.
Okay, go.
Starbuck, cool. Boomer, bad. Cavill, Satan. Six, sad.
Six is sad.
Ellen, mad. Then a witch. Then nice.
I like it. It's like a haiku. Okay. No, a haiku has a much more... structure.
Right.
Continue.
Anders sleeping.
Anders is sleeping.
And now you can snap.
I wish you would have told me you were writing a poem. I would have written a poem. I feel so underprepared.
I didn't know it was a poem when I was writing it.
It
was notes, but
you were just making notes.
Sounds like a poem.
It does. It did kind of sound like a poem. Yeah. Okay, so did we talk about Ellen?
No. She was. She had.
When
really
when.
Come
oh,
up
she was revealed
in the premiere, and you said she was a letdown.
Yeah, wasn't a fan. That's right.
I liked Ellen in the episode.
Yes.
Following the premiere.
Yes,
because that was awesome. Wise Ellen.
She was sort of
elevated.
Elevated. Yes, definitely.
And I was like, that could work. I'm getting into Ellen.
She's almost in a saintly way, or an angel, like an archangel or something.
I like
saint.
That. Saint.
I like that, good. Like a saint or something who, you know, in the hierarchy, not having anything to do with ours. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
But anyway, so so kind of in that. And then when she got back and she turned into Lady Macbeth again, I think that she single-handedly killed that baby. Either she somehow did it on purpose, or she stressed out sick so much that she miscarried. Mm-hmm. I really think that, because that's possible to do that. And six, I mean, she's kind of skinny. Just kidding. She's not like me.
There's no nutrition there for the baby.
Good childbearing person. And also, she just wasn't looking too pregnant. But I do feel bad for poor six. She's very sad. Let's see, what else? Again, we're going to be very sporadic.
Well, Starbuck. I have never liked Starbuck, and I've said that since the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as a character, the actress is great.
Right.
I like that she's in the show, but she's one of those characters for me that I love to hate. I don't like her. But since then, I've started liking her. She's become more interesting. She's more than just a brooding jock.
Well, the other day when we were at a party together, and I realized why I love Starbucks so much is because she is my best friend from high school that everybody knows is Stephanie, because Stephanie comes riding up on her motorcycle to a kid's birthday, or no, it wasn't a kid's birthday
party. Last
weekend, yeah. It was last weekend, and she just rides up on her motorcycle in this big motorcycle jacket, and I was like...
In her leathers, and riding
leathers. Yeah, riding leathers, so it looks like, you know, a uniform, mm-hmm. and I was just like, yeah, she's Starbucks. No wonder I like Starbucks, even though she's kind of crazy. She's Stephanie.
Stephanie's a little crazy, but a nice... Crazy.
No, of course it's not exactly the same, but there is that part of her that's like real rough and tumble, and it is that's
she
exactly...
was talking about a bar fight in which she flexed her muscles.
Yeah, she actually flexed her muscles to get somebody to leave her alone, but then she also retaliated by flipping her hair at them. Yeah, so like that's
so that's totally not so Starbucks.
That's not Starbucks.
That's Stephanie.
but you know, but it is that same kind of, she does have a little bit. I'll say this, ever since we were teenagers going out together, I was never afraid. Because I knew she'd take them. Mm-hmm. So I would never be afraid to go out with Starbucks either. So there you go. That's the deal with that. But I go back and forth about her. I wasn't sure what was going on. Again, I'm sorry if we skip around. But and you are going to put the spoiler alert on this,
yes.
right? I like our spoiler alert, by the way. Okay, so she is still technically married, I guess, to Anders. And when she was making the decision about whether they should take the bullet out and he was doing all of that revealing, that episode was so strange to me because it was like... And stop me if you need to interject because I'm just kind of free-forming here. That episode blew my mind because they were revealing so much information.
Sensory overload.
There was a sensory overload, and I wasn't even sure what I had just watched. And we did watch it again, and
it's
almost
like we need clip notes to figure it out.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It was like I needed some kind of follow-along, mm-hmm. you know, follow-along with the story kind of book because I was lost.
I was lost, too.
Yeah.
And
I'm still kind of lost.
Pretty quick. I think we're pretty smart girls. That was kind of hard to figure out. I still don't know exactly what happened, but...
Well, and then also, I mean, yeah, I'm getting that there's, you know, I'm getting very nervous about the last two episodes because obviously there has to be some kind of payoff, but I've been very dissatisfied. There have been interesting things that have happened, but I've been, like, slightly dissatisfied.
I haven't.
You haven't? Go ahead.
I haven't because when I... talked my mom into watching Battlestar. Mm-hmm. I sold it to her as a story about people, and they just so happen to be on a spaceship, and they just so happen to be robots chasing them.
Yes.
But that the real meat of the story was the people and their survival. The last few episodes have been called soap operas by some people.
Yes.
And that's kind of a strong word to describe it, because really all it is exploring the relationships of these people and how the humans and the Cylons are now integrating and having to become one in order to survive. Mm-hmm. And it parallels, like, Rosalind's dying, the ship's dying. I mean, there's still some weak points.
I do like the symbolism in that. I mean, I can get that.
There are some weak points, like, for instance, Starbuck and her... Forget Lee. She's back with Anders. And that's her total focus is on Anders. And I'm willing to accept that because as a wife... If my husband was in that situation, I would be
their situation is different than
yours.
She
was all over the place before that, and now all of a sudden it's all Anders again.
This is the reason we didn't record a podcast like the next week, because I refused to talk about that episode. The episode where they just conveniently decided that Chief's baby wasn't really Chief's baby.
Yeah, that.
I was ticked off because to me.
Even if it wasn't really your kid, you'd still have...
Well, no.
Because he's totally forgotten.
As a mother, in relation to the story, it like made me very upset to think of this baby who's had a father. He's already had his mother die in front of him. And now the only father he's ever known is now Torn because he doesn't know... You know, he can't
whether
really be his
Cylon
father.
Or human,
because he's now a Cylon, whatever. Complete. So that makes me sad, like, in general.
Mm-hmm.
On another note, this is where I'm calling shenanigans on the writing staff, is that it makes me think that nobody had the outline for Chief is going to be one of our Cylons, because they did this whole storyline where Chief and Callie got married and they had baby, whatever. And then they were like, oh, we made such a big deal about Hera being important. So, maybe... Now that we've made Chief a Cylon, we got to make sure that this baby isn't a hybrid like Hera. So, she cheated on him. Great. Yeah, let's do that. It just feels, that felt forced to me.
It also cheapens the character of Callie.
It felt like an afterthought, and I was very annoyed by the cheaping. And I'm fine. I just, Callie, in retrospect, was one of my favorite characters. Yeah. I loved the first season where she bit the nose off that, or the tongue or whatever. She bit off that one dude to get her off, get him off of her, because she seemed so sweet and demure. And like she, you know, could be taken, and she was feisty. And I mean, I can see it even in her character to maybe cheat on Chief. I mean, whatever. I mean, whatever. That's not even the issue. It just seemed story-wise to be an afterthought to me, and that was very annoying. And now, okay, no, we don't have to talk about Nick anymore.
Yeah.
And I don't know.
The other thing is, he felt like that was his son for so long, and he did have feelings for Callie. Would he like just completely forget and never think again about that kid who was dying?
Again, I don't think that that's the case, because I don't think it has anything to do with that. It has to do with the writer trying to get rid of the kid. This has nothing to do with Chief. It has everything to do with the writers seeing that the child was a block to the story and getting rid of it. I hate to say that, but that's the only thing I can see, because I don't think Chief would. I agree with you. I don't think Chief would do that.
No.
If Chief would sacrifice what he did to save Boomer, I think he would definitely, you know, stick by a kid, even if he wasn't really his kid. Mm-hmm. I really do. I mean, I think it's not within Chief's character to just completely forget about him. The writers did that, not him.
Was that the same episode where Ellen came back and they had the meeting with her and, you know, trying to figure out, okay, what's the deal? What's going on? Why are you here? Is that the same episode?
No, because that's when they all gathered around. Yeah, it's hard.
I don't remember, but one thing that was very interesting to me is the Last Supper image that we've talked about in a previous episode, and we analyzed.
Yes.
They posed several of the characters in that scene where they're questioning Ellen, and Lee does the thinking man. And he leans forward, he turns his head a certain way, and I think it was Adama was sitting on the edge of the table, and he kind of looked off to the side and had his hands on his knees, and it happened quickly, you know, firstly, then it was Adama,
right?
But it didn't happen with any of the other characters, and I just thought that was very interesting. I think I'm going to go back and see if I can get a screen grab of that and put it on the blog so we can compare.
Yeah.
But I just thought that was really cool, and I wish they had kept going with that.
Yeah.
That would have been neat. But I think Ellen, in that situation, was the empty spot.
Yeah.
So, because she was in that room with them when they were making
moves.
I think that they were hinting at that.
Yeah, the whole thing. I think the soap opera comparison had more to do with if you were to kind of take yourself out of it and say, okay, well, somebody's in a coma and we don't know if they're coming out of the coma.
It is like that.
Or if you have, you know, Starbuck and her evil twin. Maybe it's her evil twin, but maybe it's herself. But she really died. But she really come back.
No,
and
no.
As my father will tell
Boomer
you,
and,
if
and
my father
Athena,
will tell you that
twin.
Anybody, nobody dies in soap operas. They always come back somehow. There's always a way to come back. And my dad used to make that joke when my mom watched soap operas, that nobody's really alive, and he would joke around. And it's like, if you were to look at it that way, it does kind of seem, you know, and of course, yeah, Boomer is definitely an evil twin to all the eights, but Boomer.
I, at one time, felt bad for Boomer because she didn't know she was a Cylon. The switch went off. She didn't know that, I mean, that was my rationalizing what was going on,
at the
was
beginning.
That she didn't realize what she was doing, and I felt bad for her. Now I don't.
No.
I can't stand her. She's in Tory category, in the Tory list
Tory.
For me. blacklist. Well, she's gonna get her just desserts, and I think Boomer is too.
See, we want them to, but yes, I'm very nervous I don't want you to put too much stock in that, because the way the last few episodes have been happening, there's been some very good points. I'm still happy to watch it, but I'm not optimistic
that they're gonna resolve anything like that.
I'm not optimistic that anything's gonna get resolved. Because I'm not really putting any preconceived notions on it. I don't have like a way that I want it to be resolved.
Yeah.
You know, I just want it to be resolved good.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just been, everything's been very like jalopy the past few times. It's like, well, it's going to start. It'll start right up, I swear. But it's like, so that's just how I've been about it. So I'm just hoping that all of these things, that all of the cards getting in the row, that once everything gets started or whatever he's going to do, that it really works.
I understand your point of view, but for me, the whole point is that the Cylons and the humans are working together now.
Yeah,
and that is
cool
the goal toward for the end of the series.
Yeah.
Whether they all die together as one or they all find wherever they're looking for and defeat Satan and Cavill.
Well, I think what's hard, though, too, is that there are so many storylines.
Oh, yeah. It's confusing.
There are so many ends to the tapestry, you know, that are going on in the story. I just don't see it being
wrapped up.
Resolved in 80 minutes. I don't see that happening. I don't see it being resolved the way that I will feel, you know, released from the story in, you know, an hour and 20 minutes. I just don't see it happening.
Another point is Baltar. How many times is he going to become reborn?
Yeah, that's
again.
Weird too.
But it's an interesting thing, an interesting scenario. I likened him to Charles Manson before because of his harem.
Yes.
And now he seems to have gone David Koresh because now they're getting all the guns.
Yeah.
And they're protecting people and they're preparing for the end.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know if anyone's familiar with David Koresh, but in Texas, it's kind of like a...
Yes.
Yeah, we all know David Koresh. He was in Waco and he...
It's pretty horrible and... I wish it was in Texas, but what are you going to do?
Wacko. Wacko, Waco. And yeah.
So, yeah. Somebody else tell me this, but we made a joke. I don't know if we made this joke as friends or if we did on the podcast, that Baltar's harem babysat during the day.
I made that joke.
And yeah. I could have sworn that I saw two of his women in that daycare when Hera got stolen by Boomer.
And,
I really, really think
there you
that
go.
I saw them.
Shady daycare.
There you go. There's the daycare. So
that's how they've been paying for all that.
That's how
they've
been paying. That's how they've
actually
been
Desi helped me with that joke.
That's pretty
that
good.
Was in one of the episodes that she helped with.
That's funny.
So
that's funny.
But anyway,
so I thought I saw that one redhead. I really did. So maybe I didn't. But that's great. I did think about that. Sorry, I bumped the mic. That it didn't sound like anything from here, but it will on the recording. Sorry. So anyway, I think we're good on Battlestar.
Yeah, but the only one other thing, yeah, we have to address. We got a lot of email, which we won't be able to go over this week.
That's okay.
But we will address it in our next episode this
yes.
month. But one email that we got was about our premiere episode.
Okay.
And they were very confused as to why we thought the episode sucked.
Okay.
But Angela said sucked as in the situation sucked.
Yeah.
It was depressing. You have to admit the episode was depressing. We had just come back from watching it. Just
yes.
like today. It was
just like today.
From the living room up the stairs to the recording room and bam, we were recording, talking
right.
about it. So just because we are very quiet and
I thought I made
critical
that clear.
Of it doesn't mean that we
I thought
hate
I made it.
It
clear in the episode. I was like, I thought that
yeah,
episode
it sounded,
was good.
It
just,
sounded like that to me
I was
too.
Just
but
like,
you know, some people may not know us as well. There's probably a lot
That's
of
true.
New listeners. So
okay, yeah,
just bear in mind that we both love this series,
or we wouldn't talk about
yeah,
it at all.
It would not be in our show at all. We wouldn't mention
right.
it.
That's true. Here's hoping. It's going to be good. The next time we talk about it, we will be having a party for the end of Battlestar 2 weeks from today.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to have our friends here. And I know one of them especially is very anxious to talk about Battlestar with us. So I'm excited to do that too. So, all right, let's go on to our main topic.
So smart, he's abducted my heart, and I'm falling apart from the looks I receive, from those eyes I can't leave. Well, you can say I'm naive, but he tell me to believe.
I was messing it up a lot. That's okay. So we are going to be talking about the X-Files episode, Jose Chung from Outer Space, and
time out.
Go ahead.
If you have not watched this episode yet and you would like to see it before we continue, you can download this episode for $1.99 from the Amazon store, or you can buy it on iTunes and watch it and then listen to the rest of our podcast so that you can enjoy it in its entirety.
And this may sound kind of lame. I think we should put a small spoiler alert, because even though X-Files, the way the X-Files set up, especially at the beginning, that it was a monster of the week, basically. Yeah. So there's not ever a lot of spoilers until they started doing more arcs towards the end of the series. Or it's not really a big spoiler, but because of the way the episode is set up, there's some funny things that are surprises that you will be sad if you hear them here. Yeah. And then don't see them in the episode, if that's what you
right.
want to do.
You need to get the full effect. You need to watch it.
Yeah.
True. And then listen to right. us so that you can laugh along with us.
So we watched it right before we watched Battlestar today, and I brought it up on a whim, so...
Oh, let's talk about the series as a whole first, and then we'll...
So generally, the series is, from what I remember, on the fly, it's kind of a Sherlock Holmes thing. That's the way I always looked at it. You got Mulder and Scully, who are FBI agents for the X-Files, which are all of the unexplained paranormal, supernatural cases, anything that can't be explained. And it leans towards aliens, you know, monsters, vampires, that type of thing. Towards the middle, and then as they got further along in the series, they started doing more government conspiracy. Mm-hmm. And this episode does touch on government conspiracy, but it's a very light look at it. I'd like people to write in, but I watched for a while and then I was just out.
Well, I think I watched them all, but I was a little confused at the end.
Yeah, and especially when David Duchovny left, you know, and it's starring, you know, David Duchovny and Gillian Anderson. Is it Gillian or Gillian?
Gillian.
Yeah. I had a very weird dream once when I was in college that she was telling me that it was Gillian. Strange dream about Gillian Anderson. I was in a restaurant.
Was that after a party?
No, I was just in a restaurant and she was like, "My name is Gillian." And I'm like, "Okay."
That should be the title of this episode.
I know.
My name is Gillian.
No. I know that sounds real lame, but so basically what it is they investigate these things, and the setup, unlike most of our series that we have now, where you have some like monster of the week, quote unquote, type things. There's big story arcs. And X-Files, especially at the beginning, it was more like Star Trek Next Generation, where you had a little bit of arc where things would carry over, but kind of like how Star Trek had Q, and Q would carry over and be in different things. Mm-hmm. But then they had their adventure of the week. Yeah. And basically that's how X-Files was at the beginning. So do you have any more to add about the actual series? I mean, we could go on and on
about
it.
Well, there was always this little bit of tension between Mulder and Scully that
yes.
I liked, because I always liked Picard and Crusher. That was the same kind of thing there. And even now, it's not even, you know, you never know if they actually got together.
Right.
Yeah, they had a kid together and stuff, but it was like a
it's still
thing
yeah.
on the side.
It was kind of weird.
But I always enjoyed that. And then also the character of Dana Scully, she was the person who was brought in to be his partner to prove him wrong.
Right. So she's the skeptic.
She's the one that's there to throw him off. Or not throw him off, prove him wrong. Just, you know, bring scientific evidence
right.
to counter his crazy
right.
science.
And she does that by scientific reasoning. Her train of thought is always a good match. Mm-hmm. It was just really good. It was very good play between them.
When you look at a particular object, you receive the sudden flash that you're actually looking at something else, like an alien's face.
Yes. So my partner became convinced that she was suffering from what he calls post-abduction syndrome.
You don't believe in the disorder?
Well, I think that stress of any kind can cause all of those physical ailments. In any case, Mulder convinced the girl and her parents to let her be hypnotized.
What is your opinion of hypnosis?
I know that it has its therapeutic value, but it has never been proven to enhance memory. In fact, it actually worsens it, since people in that state are prone to confabulation.
I mean, it was a really good sci-fi show. I must say that watching it, you can see that it's old.
Yeah.
The cool thing about this particular episode is the special effects are almost purposefully... You freaked me out. The special effects, I think, are purposefully done badly because of the nature.
I got that impression too.
Yeah, because of the nature of the episode.
It's trying to be hokey.
It's supposed to be hokey. So let's talk about the episode itself.
Jose Chung is an author.
Right. Played by Charles Nelson Reilly. Uh-huh. Yes.
Doing a novel? Is it novelization or is it...
He's writing a nonfiction fiction novel, he says. And it kind of starts out that way, and you already know that hilarity will ensue. Continue.
And it's all about this case that they were working on about this teen couple who were abducted.
Right.
He starts out by saying, you know, everybody has a different version of the story.
And he wants to get Mulder's version, but he refuses to meet with him. So Scully goes ahead and talks to him. And the main part of the episode is her version of the story. Mm-hmm. But he will read notes and stuff of other versions of the story. And that's where some of the fun stuff comes in.
Yeah, so. It's all kind of like flashbacks. Mm-hmm. They're done through the perspectives of these other people who are a little crazy or maybe a scared, and so everything's exaggerated a little bit, and you see some of the same versions
of different scenes,
with other people's takes on those scenes. And I really like the mannerism of the author.
Yes.
It's kind of a lisp when he talks.
And everything you said was funny.
He's hilarious. And you can tell he kind of likes Scully. You know? And he's also very flattered by the fact that she reads his books.
Yes.
I think he makes a comment about her being, okay, so you're not just a hot, smart redhead.
You also have great taste.
I had never thought much about it before. I guess that's because I always felt like such an alien myself, that to be concerned with aliens from other planets, that just seems so redundant.
Well, I'd never actually considered it much myself before I started this job.
Yes, now, if I understand it correctly, your partner is the actual expert?
Yes, and I feel that I must apologize for his refusal to speak with you, Mr. Chung, but I must admit I probably wouldn't have myself if I wasn't such an admirer of your work.
Oh.
The Lonely Buddha is one of my favorite novels.
Oh. And here I was thinking you were just some brainy beauty. Now I find out that you also have good taste.
Yes. As silly as the episode is, and as fun as it is to watch with all these different perspectives, I think it is interesting, the whole government conspiracy thing that comes on, because basically the conclusion that you draw at the end of the episode is that basically there are really aliens, but that the government purposefully stages alien abductions so that the people who really see aliens or really get abducted
aren't believable,
can't be distinguished from the people who are disproved. And so it's like throwing stuff in the mix. What I've gathered is that basically what happened is the two kids are being quote unquote abducted by the pretend aliens from the government. And then while that's going on, the real aliens come and abduct all four of them, the two Air Force guys that are dressed up like aliens and the two kids. What's also interesting, too, is the matter of perception. So then the kids are kind of brainwashed and the guys turn up dead and all of this weird stuff happens. And then I get the impression, too, that the shopkeeper is also brainwashed.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I'm talking about? Because he tells a story about how Mulder comes in and eats all the pie.
The Air Force guy was in the restaurant with him, telling him his story. And the restaurant owner was there, but his version of the story is that man was never with Mulder.
Right.
You ever seen a UFO in these parts?
He then ordered piece after piece, each time asking another question.
You ever experienced that period of missing time? You ever had the suspicion that you've been abducted by aliens? Have you ever found a metal implant in your body? Have you checked everywhere?
He ate a whole pie in that fashion, then got up and left. My friend never saw him again.
The cook never mentioned Lieutenant Schaefer, let alone any other Air Force personnel.
So you think his brain might have been altered too.
Well, the men in black are factored into this story. And who plays the man in black?
The men in black are played by Jesse Ventura and
Alex Trebek.
Alex Trebek.
You probably thought you saw something up in the sky other than Venus. But I assure you, it was Venus.
I know. What I saw.
Your scientists have yet to discover how neural networks create self-consciousness, let alone how the human brain processes two-dimensional retinal images into the three-dimensional phenomenon known as perception. Yet you somehow brazenly declare seeing is believing? Mr. Crickenson, your scientific illiteracy makes me shudder. And I wouldn't flaunt your ignorance by telling anyone that you saw anything last night other than the planet Venus. Because if you do, you're a dead man.
You can't threaten me.
I just did.
And should we do clip too? Because also the two reasons that I really, well, the one really big reason is one line in this whole show.
The nerd.
The nerd, which is funny because, and I just noticed this, is that he has the I Want to Believe poster that Mulder has.
Yes.
And he has that up in his room along with like every stereotypical thing. His curtains are Star Wars sheets or something, I think. It looks kind of like it. They're not distinguishable, but it kind of looks like Star Wars sheets for curtains. And he has a bed on the floor. Mm-hmm. He's obviously still living in his mom's room. He's about 35. And he calls Scully. He says that Scully isn't real, that
her hair is too red.
Her hair's red, but too red. And then he calls Mulder a mandroid.
Because he didn't have much of emotion. He didn't have expression on his face, and he was unemotional.
And he was too tall.
I think he was a mandroid. The only time he reacted was when he saw the dead body.
Yeah, that's a bleeping dead alien body if I ever bleeping saw one.
Wrap it up.
And Scully roughed him up.
Yeah, Scully roughed him up.
You know that's a total lie because
she doesn't do that.
No, well, she's like, what?
But she thinks
I did not do that.
Yeah, he considers them the men in black.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that happens. And then he said, well, aren't you afraid of talking to me, you know, if they roughed you up? And he says, totally seriously, he says, you don't spend all those years playing Dungeons and Dragons and not learn a little something about courage. I love it.
And that will be a soundbite. And that will, on the Anomaly Podcast.
That will be the, like, one of our official soundbites. It's awesome.
Aren't you nervous telling me all this after receiving all those death threats?
Well, hey, I didn't spend all those years playing Dungeons and Dragons and not learn a little something about courage.
And also, this is something we'll put on the soundbite, but I have to talk about it anyway, is maybe Jen can play it, like, right now. during that guy's story, Mulder sees the alien on the ground, and he goes, "Ma!"
That was the kid's version that he made that sound.
In the guy's version, "Ma!"
Which was ridiculous.
Yes, it was very ridiculous.
He knew he was lying.
Yeah, I don't know that he was lying, though, because I think that's what's interesting about this episode is that
they all remembered it
differently. Just because people have different stories doesn't necessarily mean anybody's purposefully lying.
Yeah.
So, and you get the impression that Scully's memory was
a little different,
erased as well. So,
right.
Yeah, because of the end.
The men in black.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You're feeling very sleepy, very relaxed.
Alex Trebek, the game show host?
Mulder didn't say that it was Alex Trebek, and it was just someone that looked incredibly like him.
Did he? I mean, you were there.
Well, not exactly. I don't have any recollection of this. I was surprised to wake up the next morning to find Mulder asleep in my room.
Oh.
But Mulder, I don't even remember letting you in.
I told you, you didn't let me in. They were already here.
Scully. We'll be right there. That was Detective Manners. He said they just found your bleeping UFO.
Well, there was a this was hilarious, a truck driver? Was it a truck? He had
a pickup.
Yes,
and he showed Lord
up on
Kimbo.
The scene. Yeah, he showed up on the scene and he saw the real alien attacking
in
the fake aliens. Oh yeah,
yeah.
And his version of the story, he's handwritten this. It's
a
screenplay.
Screenplay.
And that was his account of what happened, and that was why it was suspicious to the author of the real book, because he thought, well, this account reads like a movie script. Mulder is reading it to Scully, and it sounds believable until he gets to the part where he says, "And I was taken into the core of the earth, where these aliens are from, and Lord Kimboot took me there," and, you know.
I sat in my stalled truck, frozen in terror, watching as this third alien attacked the other two gray aliens. And then it happened, the thing that forever changed my life.
Survival of all Earthlings.
Well, how can I do that?
Come, I shall show it.
Thee. Before I knew it, I was aboard the hover vessel and was heading not into outer space, but into inner space, toward the Earth's molten core. For that is the domain of the third alien, whose name, he soon told me, was Lord Kinboat.
In short, Rocky showed signs of being what is known as a fantasy-prone personality.
Agent Scully, you are so kind-hearted. He's a nut. I just read his manifesto.
That was at the point where they pretty much figured out it was all exaggerated.
But then he, like, at the end, he starts, like, a religious cult or something.
Yo,
based
it was
on
so
the,
much like the,
yeah.
What was the Hale Bopp cult?
Oh, they I don't
all
remember
took
that.
The poison and died back in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
That's
the Jones.
I think they
but
were
it,
playing
it
off
seemed
of that.
A little sillier, though. I mean,
oh, yeah,
I think they
were playing
they were
off
meaning
that.
It to be sillier than that. He's like, oh, and then you'll find peace, but you have to be wary of lava monsters.
Mm-hmm.
He's a nut. I just read his manifesto.
Along the same lines, there was this alien autopsy that was circulating at that time in the 90s. Where it looked like a real video footage of somebody cutting up an alien in a lab or something. Well, they were spoofing that in this episode because they had the fake alien that they were
doing an autopsy
on, thinking it was a real alien. It was Scully performing it. This crazy nerd that Angela mentioned that was talking about Dungeons and Dragons comes into the lab with his camera and he's trying to film it, and they were trying to push him out.
And
Scully wanted him out, and Mulder was like, wait, does that camera work? Get it over here. And he wants it to be filmed.
But when they come, when they try to get him out, he yells, Roswell!
Yeah.
Roswell!
Roswell! That's kind of his, like,
it's wonderful
battle cry.
Roswell! And so, but then he gets sick when they decide about the, when he figures out that it's a person instead of an alien, he's like, so it's just a dead human?
He was all about it when it was an alien.
It was dead alien, no problem. But
yeah, they take the mask off and it's a Scooby-Doo moment.
I like, too, when they got a copy of that footage and Scully's like, oh, it's so embarrassing.
Because they edited it.
Yes.
And they did have like a show host that was commentating on it. And he has this, it sounds like a German accent or something.
Yes.
But it reminded me a lot of that the actual alien autopsy video that was circulating in the 90s.
Whoa. Hey, you can't suppress the truth. The people have a right to know. Roswell.
Hey, does that camera work?
Is this actual footage of the alien autopsy, or simply a well-made hoax?
So this is footage of the actual autopsy you performed.
It's so embarrassing.
And that's what's kind of fun about the episode is that, especially if you... I don't know, especially if you remember that time, or even so, there's a lot of things in the episode that are specifically there to kind of hark back to stuff. There's, mm-hmm. you know, like having Alex Trebek and them in there. Sure. It was very cultural for the 90s, too.
Oh, that reminded me.
Yes.
Jesse Ventura.
Yes.
He picks up the nerd and he does like a backbreaker or something. I don't know.
It was a wrestling move.
It was a wrestling move. And then he knocks him out when he does it.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason they say that Alex Trebek and Jesse Ventura are the Men in Black is because it helps people seem like wackadoos whenever they say they saw the Men in Black.
Right.
Because no one will believe them if Alex Trebek shows up as a Man in Black.
But it does kind of go back, well, like I was saying earlier about like what I like about that particular episode of X-Files mm-hmm. is how it combined the seriousness kind of the idea of government conspiracy, even if it has nothing to do with aliens, and with the silliness of the episode mm-hmm. itself, which I think is something that, especially for the first half of the series, that X-Files did very well, you know, mm-hmm. with the smoking man and the lone gunman. And there's another episode near this one about vampires that's pretty hilarious, too.
What wasn't it the Illuminati also in?
Illuminati was in it. Yeah, and he says something at the end of this episode about the military-industrial complex, which, if anybody knows anything about conspiracy, you know what that is, so I won't explain it.
Well, some of our listeners are not American, so
that's true. Well, this is the military-industrial complex. The idea of it is just because I do too much reading. The idea of it is just it's a global thing. It's a whole thing that something's being controlled. You know how government. You know that's the whole idea of government conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
And then he calls it the military-industrial entertainment complex, and that's funny.
Yeah.
So,
well, I liked the way this show was shot. I thought it was very smart.
Agreed.
Like the girl is remembering through hypnosis the probing that the aliens were doing. They're all
allegedly
in a kind of facing her, and it's kind of a distorted angle, mm-hmm. and you can see all the aliens behind her. And then it kind of fades back and forth between reality and her vision of what happened.
Mm-hmm.
And the men who were hypnotizing her to help her remember what happened to her
mm-hmm.
are in the same positions as the aliens in her
cool.
vision.
Mm-hmm.
And then it also, at one point, she remembers there being Air Force men
mm-hmm.
and a doctor there, and they kind of fade into that same
scene.
I like that a lot. And then also it was very smart of them to do very minor things that you don't realize at the beginning why they're doing it, but at the end you go, oh, that's why he did it.
Yes.
But when the Men in Black come into the nerd's room to rough him up, he looks at the other person because they never show his face until the end of the show.
Yes.
It's Jesse Ventura all the time. You always see him, but you can't see his partner. His face is in shadows. And the nerd kind of looks at him and he gets this bright... I mean, even though he was afraid when he came in, he looks at the partner and he just gets this goofy smile on his face. And you're like, what
the
heck?
Like, I know you.
Yeah. You're like, what the heck? And then at the end, you see it's Alex Trebek.
Yes.
And that's why he smiled.
Of course.
So it's really silly stuff like that. It's funny.
And kudos to Alex Trebek for being in that episode, too, because it really is him.
Mm-hmm.
And kudos to him for that, because, you know, it's good when people have a sense of humor about mm-hmm. themselves.
Well, then this is a little off topic, but I saw The Cigarette Smoking Man in a sci-fi made-for-TV movie.
For reals?
Yes. It was Snakehead Fish.
Awesome!
It's a recent movie, and he played the autopsy doctor, and it struck me as odd because in those really crappy B movies that the Sci-Fi Channel makes,
yes,
the unknown actors that suck play the main characters.
Yes.
And the actors that are well known that are just maybe going through some hard times play the secondary role. Or
now
like
be
the
nice
because
that's
appearance.
Where all the characters from Battlestar are going to be. Sorry,
I hope
Battlestar
not.
Guys.
No, I don't think so.
Actually, Katie Sackhoff was in like 3 or 4 episodes of Nip Tuck. I never watched that show because it's just like too much for me.
David was going through and telling me all the episodes of the guy that plays Ty. He's in a detective show, and there was a couple others.
Oh, Hilo is in Dollhouse.
Yeah, so they're not going to be washed up. I'm sorry, we got off topic there.
That's okay.
A little bit.
It's okay to get a little off topic as long as we don't go crazy tangenty.
No.
And I think we're almost done anyway.
Mm-hmm. It was a very lighthearted, enjoyable episode.
Yes. It's a good way to get to look at X-Files again, I think. So if you have any good X-Files that you would like us to review, or if you would like to write in a review about X-Files, please email us. All those interesting things. Go to the website, all of that. So, and can you remind everybody again where they can get the X-Files episodes?
Yeah, sure. You can go to Amazon.com. It is for sale there for $1.99 as a download.
Yep.
Or you can download it from iTunes.
Okay.
For $1.99, same price.
I really like the iTunes.
Yeah. In fact, I mean, I would have probably preferred to have downloaded it through iTunes, but I found out about it after I had already purchased it from Amazon, and then I had to buy some player.
Oh, okay.
And I didn't have to buy it. I had to download and install it in order to watch my movie.
Right. But we did get it to work on our big screen.
Yeah, I have my laptop hooked up to their big screen TV, and
so
it looked pretty good, didn't it?
Yeah, I thought
really
it did.
Good. So
it looked really good.
Totally worth the $2.
Yes, definitely.
Yeah.
All right. I think we did good for being as tired as we are.
I think so.
Because I am physically
me
exhausted.
Me too. I'm having a hard time keeping my eyes.
I know you are. Okay. All right, then. All right. So next time on the Anomaly Podcast,
we're going to have our friend Holly come over and talk to us about Twilight. She's read most of the novels and seen the movie. We have not.
Nope.
And I wasn't real interested in it at all until she started talking to me about it.
Also, she's actually been to a lot of the places that they talk about in the book.
Well, her mom is from the Seattle area.
Area, yes. So, yeah.
So she does know about...
Has a little more insight
inside
into the
knowledge,
whole idea.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But the interesting thing about Holly is that she is totally not a geek.
Absolutely,
totally
completely
not a
geek.
And I don't know, is this a geeky subject? Twilight?
Vampires are a geeky subject.
Do you think?
And I think that Twilight itself, it leans itself to being a little more girly. So maybe this is the Anomaly is girly and geeky. Mm-hmm. So that's why I think it's important for us to do episodes like this too, because it's both. So I think it'd be good.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it'll be a good episode. Yeah. And it's good because even just getting Holly over here is like a good step.
Uh-huh. Well, she keeps hinting at it.
Yeah.
Like she really wants to be on the show, I can tell, but she won't just come out and say it.
Oh, it'll be so fun to have her. She's so nice.
Yeah, she is.
It'll be fun to talk to her.
And she's taller than me.
Yeah, she's very tall. Everyone's taller than me, so I'm not worrying about it. And we'll also talk a little bit about kind of vampire lore in general, which I just know about and I don't know how.
Please, if you haven't done so already, leave us a rating on iTunes.
Oh yes, please.
We obviously do this for fun, and all of the funds that it takes to produce this show come out of our own pockets, and we don't ask for donations, but we do ask that leave us ratings and send us emails.
Because that's so fun for us.
Yes, that's our
payment. That's our payment.
we continue feedback. Doing this because we like hearing from you, and we only have a select number of people that email us.
We
and
like to know that you're
know
out there.
We know there are more people listening.
Yes.
So please tell us you're listening.
Unless you want to be mean. Don't be mean.
Don't.
No haters.
No haters.
No haters.
We're not down with haters.
Nope.
No.
Although I will know how to deal with you if I...
Yeah, I'll refer you to Angela because although she's very nice, she can turn into...
I'm very nice.
She can turn into Buffy the Vampire Slayer. I don't know.
That is one of my superpowers. It's true.
If you could go to iTunes if you use that to listen to our podcast.
Yes.
And on the page where you can subscribe to our show, on the right, there's going to be a link that says tell a friend. do us a favor and click on that and tell your friends about our show.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of get the word out, maybe blog about us, or just tell your buddies.
I want to do a shout out to my family physician who is listening. Hello.
We've got a couple of people that are new
yes.
to our show that we know that are
yep.
listening.
Hi, Dr. Mike. And if your girls are listening, hi, girls.
Yes. You know what? We've had a couple of them recently email us,
yeah.
like Sarah and Elizabeth.
Good.
And we'll read their emails next week.
Yay.
All
right.
Along with all you other guys
okay.
out there.
So you can email us directly, girlygeeks@gmail.com.
That's girlygeeks with a Z
at gmail.com. Or you can visit our website, anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. And you can contact us there, too,
mm-hmm.
through our contact page
right.
and our blog. So
definitely.
It's all on our website. It's a beautiful website still.
Yeah. Oh, it tells you how to subscribe if you don't understand how that works. If you're just listening mm-hmm. to one episode at a time, it's more helpful if you subscribe sometimes.
Yep. And please listen to the rest of our episodes.
Mm-hmm.
If you liked this one, download the rest of them and listen to them. Put them on your old iPod while you take your jog and listen to the silly Anomaly Girls. I'm Angela.
And I'm Jen.
And you've been listening to the Anomaly Podcast, where female and fandom converge.
Chicka-chicka.
Chicka-chicka. What?
I'm fascinated how a person's sense of consciousness can be so transformed by nothing more magical than listening to words. Mere words.
You are feeling very sleepy.
Your feedback encourages us to continue producing Anomaly.
Very relaxed.
Please consider writing about us in a forum, on a blog.
As your body calmly drifts deeper and deeper into a state of peaceful relaxation, you will respond only to the sound of my voice.
And leave us a rating on iTunes, hopefully a positive one. Drop us a line at girlygeeks@gmail.com. That's girlygeeks with a Z at gmail.com. Or via our contact page at anomalypodcast.com. That's A-N-O-M-A-L-Y podcast.com. And leave a comment on our latest episodes, or just say hi. And if you're an anomaly, or a fellow female fangirl, let us know we're not alone in the world. Anomaly is released on a Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 3.0 license.
Well, hey, I didn't spend all those years playing Dungeons & Dragons and not learn a little something about courage.
He's a nut! I just read his manifesto.
I made this.